From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in with you. Your friend Steve Ryman will be back with you Tuesday through Friday this week. Actually, I take that back. I'm going to be with you again tomorrow for the first half hour. That'll be fun. I'm with my friend and amazing leader of a ministry called Joy Junction, Elma Reynolds. Elma, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I haven't seen you for probably 6 months. My fault. My
probably.
Bad. I need to get you back on the air more frequently. Elma, I want to tell everybody about Joy Junction. You are a 501c3 church-based ministry that offers emergency and short-term essentials such as food, clothing, counseling, transportation, shelter for homeless men, women, children, and families. You have units that are built specifically for whole families to take advantage of. Guests also receive an array of other services for their spiritual and emotional needs. You believe in giving the homeless a hand up, not a handout.
That's correct.
To help them get back on the feet. The Ministry of Joy Junction was founded by your late husband, Jeremy Reynolds. We're going to talk about
yes.
Jeremy a little bit. I obviously knew Jeremy well and interfaced with Jeremy many, many times. And really, his story is quite amazing. But Elma, your story is quite amazing. You lost your husband in 2018,
mm-hmm.
and you came here from the Philippines. You'd been working in the ministry for how many years prior?
Since 2015, as soon as I sit for
So you hit the ground running.
Yes, yeah.
You hit the ground running. You had 3 years of experience, and now you're just running this amazing ministry. And what did you tell me on the way in? How many guests do you have now in the facility?
Well, we are about going to 300.
That is amazing. So, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's scary, but we are so blessed that we have this place open for people that needed a place to stay.
All right. Our listeners are, and I've said it many times, very gracious, very generous. They listen intently because they want to know about the Word of God. They want to know what God is calling them to do next.
Mm-hmm.
The people that listen to this station are always involved in ministry of some kind. They're involved in, you know, they want to be lifted up. They want to hear God's word, but they also are encouraged to help themselves and help other ministries themselves. Let me read this. This is really for me. This is not Elma getting on anybody's case.
Okay.
This is all, okay, I'm James. I wish I would have written the book of James, but I didn't. But I love the book of James, James 2, 15 and 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, James says, what good is that? Absolutely. Elma, every day you are caring for people that are really in desperate need, that mm-hmm. they have children, they don't have jobs, they don't have food on their tables, they have no shelter over their head. What an amazing ministry Joy Junction is.
Well, you know, I always, it reminds, this verse reminds me of what my husband told me before. Like, you know, you can preach the gospel as many as people as you can, how God loves you, mm-hmm. and without putting it into action, what good it could be for
yeah.
for the person.
But how amazing and miraculous is it when people do put in place their faith and they act upon it, as I know our listeners do.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about what you're doing and how you're doing. So tell us about the mission of Joy Junction.
So this is how Joy Junction came in. We put the Word of God into action. Our ministry is giving shelter, giving a roof for somebody who has no place to go, a family, a single individual, men and women, and we feed them. They are warm during the winter. They are cold during the summer, and we clothe them if they need clothing, 3 meals a day, and with other services that we offer at Joy Junction. That's why we call it, we don't give a hand. We just don't give a handout, but a hand up.
Mm-hmm. And 300 people That is a lot of people to be taking care of, both their physical, spiritual, and emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
You interface with the city, so you're providing an array of services. So let's get into the meat of this a little bit. Who is qualified to stay with you at Joy Junction?
Anyone who is facing homelessness, although we prioritize families. I think it was because of my husband's experience during those early years that's what pushed him to start Joy Junction. And having your family away and you are somewhere and your family is in another state. So having him experience that, so when he started Joy Junction, that is the priority, to have a family put together, because at that time, and even now, not so much of a homeless shelter that a family can stay together. They put the father in the other's place and the mom and children in another place.
And so there's people right now that if you're in a family, they have a shelter for men, they have mm-hmm. a shelter for women,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the kids can stay with mom kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having families together, yeah, that's amazing. And Elma, let me ask you this. I've called you personally a couple of times, and I know people right now might run across somebody that is in need of your services, and the shelter phone number is 505-877-6967.
That's correct.
And if somebody is in need, they call the shelter and you'll even come and pick them up, won't you?
Yes, if they don't have any means of transportation, if they are just around here in the city of Albuquerque, we could arrange a transportation to pick them up and bring them to the shelter. So
but you don't stop there. So let's say there's a man and a woman together with a family, and the man and the woman need to have jobs. You even help them get to the job that you help them with. I guess I should back up and say, what's kind of the process? If a family checks in, how do you help them get back on their feet?
Yeah, once a family comes in, a mom and dad, if one of them wanted to look for a job, then we could help them. And most of them, they don't even have any documentation. Let's say they need an ID. You know, if you apply for a job, you have to have an identification card. So if they don't have ISIS in card or anything, driver's license, you know, our case manager, we have to talk to them. First of all, to talk to the couple, the family, what is your goal? Do you want to find a job or join the program? Because most of them are having issues, let's say alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. So like, I make an example of a family. They come in. So now the husband is in the program, and earlier we hired the wife. So because at that time we have a vacant position at the shelter, she is qualified. So now the husband is in the program. The wife is working with us. And as soon as the husband finishes the program, probably their plan is also to get for, you know, a job. So now they can stay at Joy Junction. We have a housing unit for those who we hired from our residents. So it's very affordable what they pay. It's not really like a rent when you rent outside.
Sure.
And then later on when they're both working, probably, you know, they save more. And if they want to stay outside outside our property, then they can afford it also already.
And you really provide assistance to people, like you just mentioned. So they come in and maybe they don't have a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they haven't seen their birth certificate since who knows when. But your case manager will help them acquire those documents,
mm-hmm.
get the driver's license, get the birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
Even help them with what are your qualifications, maybe write up a resume, those kinds of
things.
Yeah,
we help all of those, because even like it's a family. When you apply for housing, you have to present the birth certificates of all your kids, and none of them like bringing with them a birth certificate.
Mm.
And some of them are born in other states. So our case manager is helping them to be connected with other, you know, government agencies where they need all those documentations.
Noma, I'm afraid that we've all become accustomed to hearing about homelessness. And my fear is that we are complacent about it because we hear about it all the time. Yet I think we could really raise the urgency of how much people could help at Joy Junction and other homeless ministries if people would for a minute understand how difficult it is to be homeless. Could you talk to us about how people become homeless and what that's like?
Well, most of their stories, although they varied from person or family, but a lot of them, it's because of, you know, those unwise decisions in their lives earlier. And some of them...
You mentioned drug abuse, substance
abuse. Yeah, drug abuse, alcohol. And some of them, it's just like a cycle of their family. And but they're like getting tired of it. They're trying to really hard to break the cycle.
Would you call that generational homelessness? Like it's just
you can really see it from, because I saw this sometimes. There are someone like, I was here when I was 13, when I was 15, and now they are in their 30s and they are at Choi Junction. So. And when I'm outside, I meet other people like last Wednesday I was on a 50 plus expo, and there is this lady. She said, you know, I was at Joy Junction when Joy Junction just started, and thank God that she wasn't there like afterwards, only in the beginning. So it means that she's doing well. She have her own, you know.
Well, somebody might be listening right now that has a family. And they're either on the edge of homelessness, maybe they are homeless. You really provide some normalcy for these families. The kids can have a safe place to sleep, places to play. They go to regular school, and it just becomes a community.
Yes. Once a family comes to the shelter, because we have a lot of families also there, they become friends with other families. And even they help each other. You know, some mother will watch for their... for one of their kid, because the mom has to go outside of property to take care of something. So they get friendly, you know, they get help from other residents. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they even more continue to become friends after they leave property. I've seen that. I've seen other residents that they are outside of property already. They have their own jobs and they have their own apartments and, you know, these remain friends.
Well, Alma, I'm so blessed. One of the things that I learned, I think the last time you were on, is that I think you're the only emergency shelter where people can call and immediately come to stay with you. Is that correct?
Well, not only us. I mean, there is other homeless shelter, like the city, they're putting up other homeless shelter. Okay. But
I know that there's shelters where you have to... like you can't check in if you have a drug or alcohol problem.
Well,
or there's just things that now I know that people come to you that way, but you also help them get into some treatment.
Yeah, when they come in, we don't have to require them that they are clean with alcohol and drugs. We take them as they are, just like our Lord Jesus, just like our God. He loves us the way we are. And then later on, we can change. I mean, we talk to them like, you know, we care about you. The Lord God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to be in the same life, in the same pattern. So we help them as much as we can. Like if they want to break the alcohol problem and the drug problem, you know, we help them, and it's up to them if they open to that, you know, offer that help that we offer to them. And we're successful, and we succeeded that in many of our residents. And it's tough, but, you know, once they are at the shelter, we give them a chance and chance and chance again.
You know, I think about my favorite scripture is Hebrews 12:11. It says, discipline for the moment is not pleasant.
I know.
And one other translation says, discipline is never pleasant, but it yields for those who train by it. It gives back more than you invest in it. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. So it gives back more than you put into it, but you didn't soft pedal it. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard to recover, and you are there to give tools. I love what you said. We take them as they are, just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. I'm with Alma Reynolds. She is the CEO of Joy Junction. They are a 501c3 faith-based church ministry helping homeless people in the community of Albuquerque. We'll be back with more from Alma right after these messages. As James 2, 15 and 16 says, Joy Junction is out there actually providing for the physical needs and the spiritual needs and emotional needs mm-hmm. of people that are in need here in Albuquerque. Elma Reynolds, who is the CEO, she is the wife of now passed away, Jeremy Reynolds, Dr. Jeremy Reynolds. I remember meeting with Jeremy when he first started Joy Junction. Elma, of course, you didn't know him then. It's kind of weird that I knew your husband before you did. But Jeremy was the kind of guy that lived with the people that he was caring for. He could have lived anywhere.
Yeah.
But he was just so loving and so caring. And he used to tell us all kinds of things, you know, stories. I remember I told you this when you came in today, that I was around when Jeremy was actually assaulted by a homeless person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would immediately make most of us that are not thinking well think badly of all homeless people because one of them beat up Jeremy. But that's not the case. People lose their, you know, they're under tremendous pressure. And I'm not justifying sin. I'm not, you know, saying, oh, yeah, it's okay to be a drug addict. It's okay to be an alcoholic. Those are tough things, but they are things that all of us are dealing with.
Yes.
And we need each other to love one another out of those things. That's mm-hmm. how God works through our lives. Certainly is done through with Jeremy. You guys got married in 2015. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, Jeremy passes away. You're doing this amazing job being the CEO. Talk to us about how people can support the ministry. I understand they can help financially. They can make donations to your thrift store, food and clothing. Like mm-hmm. I just read this. I just did a little calculation. You guys are providing over 16,000 meals a month.
Well, I think that is very low now. I think we are more than 20,000 meals a month.
Yeah.
It's not only at the shelter. We provide also meals at our food truck. We call it Lifeline of Hope that goes around the city every day in the afternoon.
Anybody that's been to the grocery store to shop for groceries knows how expensive it is to feed your family. So again, appealing to our listeners about there's lots of ways you could help. How does a vehicle donation, let's say you got an old car, how does that help the ministry?
Well, when you donate your old car, running or not running, it's always generate an income for Joy Junction. Hmm. So when you donate your car, you know, it's we sell them. And also, it provides also transportation for some of our residents that need transportation, although we don't give it free because we want them to be responsible.
Sure.
But we give them a very, very good price that, you know, easy for them. And also, we have a lot in our community that can't afford a really expensive car. So it helps also the community that, you know, they don't have a lot of money and able to get a car. You know, in Albuquerque, if you don't have a car, it's very difficult.
It's tough. Yeah, so. It is. Absolutely. If you want to make a food donation, how do you do that? I used to go buy a huge bag of pinto beans mm-hmm. at Costco and deliver those down. And I'm embarrassed to say that I used to do that. Why don't I still do that?
Well, We use a lot of pinto beans at the shelter.
I know. That's why I'm saying I should still be doing that. But I'm trying to give people ideas mm-hmm. about, you know, you obviously you have a commercial kitchen. You're feeding 300 people. So you can't. I always wonder sometimes about, you know, restaurants. They had to throw out food or whatever. But you really have to have food pretty much produced on site, right? In your commercial kitchen because you have health inspections and all that kind of stuff. Think about the people that are working there. Some of them might be residents mm-hmm. and learning about that.
Yeah.
The culinary excellence and feeding people. I mean, these are all really valuable skills, but I can only imagine that people listening now would think, I wonder if my $10 a month or my $20 a month or my $50 a month could really help.
It could help. Even if you can afford only $3 a month, from the smallest amount to the biggest amount, when you put it together, it can make a difference.
Yeah. Hey, you have some special events coming up October 31st, which is Halloween for many. Harvest celebrations for many of the churches. What are you guys doing?
We call it a harvest feast also, which is the Coronado Mall is hosting a trick-or-treat event at the Coronado Mall on the 31st of this month. So if you have kids or grandkids, you want them to, you know, have their whatever costume they love and go to the mall, bring a canned goods. Just make sure it's not expired.
Yes.
And even a dry, like let's say pasta, anything that, you know, dry and can last for a long time, it would help us from corn or tomato sauce, vegetables and canned. Yeah, you while having fun with the kids and at the same time, you are helping Joy Junction feeding those homeless that come to us. At the shelter.
And what a neat thing that Coronado Center and their merchants are helping with this endeavor.
Yeah, they all, there are some stores that participating. They are handing out goodies. So make sure that you have your basket or your bag. But yeah, we've been partnered with them like for, I think, for 25 years now. So a trick-or-treat event so others meet it. And
so that'll be on October 31st. What time does it start?
From 6 o'clock to 8 p.m.
Nice.
So, you know, you have time. If you're working, you still have time to go home and get ready the kids and come to the mall.
Yeah, and, you know, safe place for the kids and lots of supervision. I'm sure there'll be security
because
the mall has security. Well, that'll be a fun time. October 31st, that'll be a neat celebration to have that. Tell us about, will a family that stays at Joy Junction, let's say they come now and they're just getting back on their feet, Thanksgiving, Christmas coming up. What are those holidays like at Joy Junction?
Well, we do holidays at Joy Junction. Like, for example, Thanksgiving. We do pre-Thanksgiving dinner. We do the Thanksgiving dinner. And we make it as a special night. You know, we want them to feel that in this kind of holiday, they are not like forgotten. So at Joy Junction, we are a big family. And also we have also our Thanksgiving also at the convention, which is, you know, always the day before the Thanksgiving. And the dinner, the event is open to everybody who doesn't have any means to prepare a Thanksgiving meal. And if you're hungry, you are free to come.
I love it.
For everybody.
Tell me how you use volunteers. What do you need volunteers to do now? I mean, I know you have a thrift store. You probably have lots of things going on at Joy Junction proper. What's the address of Joy Junction?
We are located in 4500 Second Street Southwest. So we're just about a mile and a half from Rio Bravo.
Yeah, in the far south side of Albuquerque.
Yes.
And what's interesting about that is people that are living there, you actually help them. They get a schedule, a work schedule, and other things. And as soon as they have a job and other things, you help them get to those locations.
Yes, for the first few months, we try to help them. And also our case manager has connected them to some other organization that offered a free ride for several months until they are able to, you know, do it by themselves.
Yeah. Tell me what other organizations you interface with. You mentioned the city of Albuquerque. Obviously, city of Albuquerque has its own shelter and some other things, but they also have other services that you interface with.
Yeah. For example, if a family applied for a housing, so we do it through the agency provided by the city of Albuquerque. So it depends really if the family, what's the need of the family, because there are times that the family are in a long waiting list. So if the family have some member of the family that have some medical issues, it could be, you know, put them on the front list.
Gotcha.
So it depends on the situation, but yeah, later on, a lot of them, you know, got their housing vouchers. It depends really on the family. Like, for example, the dad or the mom has to work for certain hours because, you know, probably the housing is only valid for, let's say, 2 years or 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some also like it's indefinite.
But your case manager, again, is going to walk people through that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get thrown out of something especially when they're doing well and making progress.
Yeah, we are really very, very attentive to our residents, what is their need. Because what for that we are helping them and not until, you know, we see them like they are okay. You can't just help and then stop in the middle and let them do the rest. And then later on, they're back again.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we are blessed with a very good case manager, really. And she's a go-getter, even like to the point, like, let's say what they need in the apartment, you know, if we can provide them and like, really walk with them, see the apartment, see the house together. Because some of them are scared.
Yes.
Some of them are scared, and we have to really be very, very considerate and kind to them. So, you know, they will able to grab that, how you call that, that faith again in themselves that mm-hmm. they can do this.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a, sometimes it works for a lot and not for some. But we don't lose hope. We just keep continue what we are doing and
see
the progress.
I think maybe the most amazing thing that Joy Junction does is help people see themselves the way God sees them.
Yeah.
They're very valuable.
That's true.
And they're not disposable. Elma Reynolds is the CEO of Joy Junction. You can find out more about their ministry at joyjunction.org. The shelter phone number is 505-877-6967. All the information you need to make donations of various kinds, financial donations, donations to the thrift store, donations of food to help the ministry, vehicle donations. And there's all kinds of opportunities for volunteering. When we come back, we're going to have you up till 2 o'clock. So I want to talk about your late husband, Jeremy Reynolds, when we
sure.
come back, because that guy was a character. And he loved people. So we're going to talk about Jeremy when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams here with you, hosting on Monday as I normally do. I'm going to see you again tomorrow. I'm going to have Marcy Patton with Johnny and Friends on tomorrow from 1 to 1:30. So please join us for that. I have Elma Reynolds. She is the CEO of Joy Junction in Albuquerque. Joy Junction was founded by her husband, Jeremy Reynolds, who passed away in 2018. Mm-hmm. And Elma, I guess I got to ask you this question. Just, I view it as I hope you don't view it as putting you on the spot, but what you've done, you know, you came to the United States from the Philippines. I know you'd been traveling, you'd been to Israel and things. You mentioned that to us, you're a strong believer. You met Jeremy, you were talking, you found yourself in a similar vision, and you guys decided to get married. But you didn't realize the scale or the magnitude of what God was actually calling you. You didn't realize he was going to hand you the ministry after calling Jeremy to come hang out with him in heaven, right?
Not even in my dream.
And did you ever feel like walking away? Were you terrified of that?
No, there are times like there are some scary moments, but in the end, I said, Lord, you put me here and you know why I should be worried. I know in our human ability, we get scared. We get so really frightened, especially it's a big shoes for me to fill up. But I mean, time and time again, God proved it to me, you know.
I asked Jeremy this a few times early in the ministry. I would say, Jeremy, have you actually seen people that were drug addicted, substance abuse, or alcohol addicted, that were homeless and had lost everything, that actually came to faith in Christ, had your community restore them, they became part of the body of Christ, and God's favor shone upon them and they were able to get jobs and raise their families and move on with life. And he said, Jim, I mean, he was almost mm-hmm. scolding me. I said, he said this to me, you've asked me so many times. And every time I want to look you in the eye and say, not only have I seen it, but it's the rule rather than the exception. He's seen more people healed. Mm-hmm. Then fail. And that is an amazing testimony.
Yeah, that's true. And until now, I've known those people. They are still doing good. They able to buy a house. She got, I'm talking about a lady, you know, mm-hmm. she got back her kids and she's working. It wasn't easy for her, but you know, the love of God is that one that give her the strength, and now she's continue to live her life and continue with her faith in the Lord, that time and time again she see the faithfulness of God in her life.
Yeah, and that is one example. So I want to encourage women. I want to encourage men. I want to encourage families. And what about a child? What about somebody, well, maybe not a child, maybe an 18-year-old. What is an 18-year-old that's on the street, what can they do to get help rather than being on the street, Alma?
Well, an 18-year-old, you know, well, that's the age that very, very challenging. Mm. So if you're 18 years old, like for us, yeah, they can stay at the shelter. And if something like there is another place, like let's say Teens Challenge, we could refer them to over there at Teens Challenge. But if they stay, they decided to stay at the shelter and they want really to do something, they want to make their life better, you know, maybe they want to go back to school or find a job. I mean, we have that. He was 19 at the time. The mom kicked him out of this at their home, and he was homeless. And someone, an aunt, referred him to Joy Junction. And later on, he realized that he needed to do something. And actually, he's now working with us at the trip store, and he's doing well. And he finished his high school. Mm. And, you know, he's not anymore doing drugs. So something could really change if you give a person a chance.
Yes.
You know, understanding, open mind.
What's the spiritual component? Do you have some pastors or other people, spiritual leaders on campus that talk to people about the Lord?
We have a chaplain. So aside that, we have a Bible class from Monday to Friday to those who are in the Christ in Power program, you know, and everybody is free to, you know, to sit at the back, to join, you know, to listen. So we have Bible class Monday to Friday, and we have some other churches also that came and do anything like from inspirational songs.
Okay,
during
and by the
night.
Way, I haven't talked about that. Churches can get involved.
Yes.
Like if you're a worship person or something, you can come down and mm-hmm. volunteer.
And, you know, through singing, you know, songs is very powerful message, powerful thing that can touch someone's heart. Mm-hmm. And we have churches also coming. We have a church also partner with us every Sunday. They send their van to pick them up and bring them to church. So there are many things, you know, if someone like even a church could partner with us and, you know, able to make someone's life, you know, feel that, you know, there are people that really care about us around.
Yes. Alma, you were married to Jeremy Reynolds for 3 years. You were handed this amazing ministry mm-hmm. that he had started. Tell us about him a little bit. What was it about Jeremy that attracted you to move, come to Albuquerque, get married? I mean, what was it about this man that you felt God was calling you to be with him?
You know, in short, Jeremy is the answer to my prayer because I was 47 at that time. You know, just half a year back before I met him. No, 1 year before I met him, I was engaged. I was a single mom. Then I get engaged, and then, but it didn't happen. And I understand the Lord has another plan for me. And I said, Lord, I know I'm a good person. Why, when it comes to relationship, like I have no luck. So I just like, okay, Lord, maybe at the right time. So I just delight myself in the Lord. And Jeremy was then answered because I said, Lord. Literally, this is my prayer. I said, Lord, if ever you want me to get married, then I want to get married before I turn 50. So I get married before I turn 50. I think I was 50, almost 59. No, I just turned 59 when I married him. Mm. 59 or 50, I forget. But No, not 48, not 48. 58, 48. So actually, Jeremy is the answer to my prayer. And I know that he's a godsend into my life. And, you know, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to America just for the green card and the passport. I'm already at peace and contented with my life in Israel at the time, working as a caregiver. So I said, but if this is the one, then, you know,
yes,
there should be nothing could hinder. And yeah, our relationship start being friend and it grows from there. And because I said, Lord, if he is the one, then teach me to love him, because there's no butterflies and, you know, nothing like that. But I know he is a good man. We have the same passion. He is a God-fearing man. And I can see myself, you know, grow old with him.
Mm.
And
he just pulled a fast one on you and said, I'm going to go be with the Lord a little early.
Yeah, that's a quick, you know, I told when he was diagnosed, I was having this question, Lord, I thought we are going to grow old together. But, you know, if it is time, I can't question you.
How about the people around you now? Do you have a team that just lifts you up and encourages you as a CEO?
Yes, we have a good team from, you know, most of Joy Junction is composed of 49. At least the maximum employee will be 49. We are now at 47, 48, I think. And most of the higher position from managers, you know, from our CEO to manager, COO, we have a good team. Those positions are really, they are dedicated. And, you know, they have been there for 15 years. The oldest is 15 years serving at Joy Junction already.
Wow.
So I have a good team, really. And they are very supportive of me. And they are happy that I took the responsibility after Jeremy passed away.
Yeah, well, and you know, for the people that aren't really reading between the lines, I like this because, you know, I'm a romantic at heart. I kind of like the fact that you guys met online, you got to know each other, and that took some time, and you guys came together and you were called together and mm-hmm. did some amazing ministry, and it was kind of like God said, "Well, Elma's ready. Jeremy, come be with me," and Elma's going to take the ball and run. And obviously you'll be reunited with Jeremy at some point.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
That'll be amazing. I still find it very courageous what you've done. I know you're not on the radio expecting accolades from me, but I do appreciate what you're doing. And it is real ministry. And I want to encourage our listeners that want to get involved to go to joyjunction.org and just read through the history. You can read about Jeremy. Mm-hmm. The founder of the organization, they can read about you a little bit. They can read about all the services that you provide. Think about the cost of those 20,000+ meals per month that are being fed right now. Think about the heating and cooling in the rooms. You have over 300 people staying. I mean, there's a lot of expense. So any amount can really help Amen. With the ministry. And you're doing some real things. If you can go buy, you know, some food and things to drop off. If you can participate in the harvest event at Coronado Center mm-hmm. on October 31st, fun place for your kids to trick or treat so someone else may eat. That'll be a special event too. We'll be back with one more segment with Elma Reynolds. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Hello, we're back on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with Elma Reynolds. She is the CEO of Joy Junction in Albuquerque. You can find them at joyjunction.org. The shelter phone number is 505-877-6967. Elma, we were just talking during the break, and I apologize. I was being a little long-winded off the air. But what I was really concerned about is how people that are listening right now can interface with you. You have all kinds of ways they can do that. We've already talked about giving. We've already talked about the expense. This is a critical time right now, the last quarter of the year, mm-hmm. for you to do some fundraising, really to put that in place for next year. Again, at 300 people in the facility, that is a lot of people to be taken care of.
So, everyone who's listening, you know, can really help us in many different ways, like what we have already talked. But, you know, especially this coming, the last We are now in October, so November, December. This is the very crucial time for Joy Junction to do a fundraising that to make sure that by next year we will be stay open. Mm-hmm. And like what you said, it's not just the food, you know, clothing. We don't worry for clothing. We have a lot of clothing donations, but as our facility servicing this amount of people, just think about the bills that we are paying every month. The water bills, gas, and electricity.
You have to write checks to PNM.
Yes.
You have to write checks to the city water.
Yes, every month.
Every month. And so that's expensive for us with small families. Mm-hmm. You have a family of over 300. And so there's a lot there. So I hope people will be encouraged. And I want to say, I don't know how to phrase it, but this is boots on the ground ministry. This is working with people that are in urgent need. They have their own lives and the lives of their children and the lives of their spouses to worry about, and they don't have a shelter over their head. And they find Joy Junction, and you even reach out to them. You try different ways to reach out to people. You provide transportation. You help with jobs. You help interface with various community services. You've already mentioned housing, drug and alcohol treatment is provided. You provide spiritual encouragement through Bible studies. You have churches participating, coming down and maybe sharing a word, maybe leading in songs and worship, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very well-rounded. You've got more needs, though. Like you mentioned that, gosh, we have a lot of, like if somebody donates a bunch of food, may don't have a lot of room to store that. Right? I mean, you maybe need some storage. You need, whenever you have this many people in one area, and I was amazed during the break, you said you've got attorneys doing pro bono work for you.
Yes.
You probably have architects and other people. And so there's, I hope this is speaking to others that are listening about, there might be other ways you can help, maybe using your professional expertise to help.
Yes. Whoever listening now, if you have a company that do a certain thing, maybe it's something that we need at the shelter. We have a lot of needs, not just like feeding the people. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of things going on. If you are a construction company and you want to do something for this ministry, you know.
If a construction company right now is looking for employees, could you just off the top of your head, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, could you say there's a couple of people that you could recommend that they hire? Would they do a good job?
Well, that's another story. It's difficult because, you know, of the situation of the people that are in the shelter, because it will be a liability for us.
So you need them to go through the program a little bit and be restored before you would say, yeah, they're ready.
Yeah, I mean, we have to see first. I mean, in a way, when they do their intake, they will tell us, like, what brings you to Joy Junction? What is going on? Why you are in this situation?
Now, this says to me, though, that if you are an employer, you could trust anyone that the shelter has ready because they've been through a process and they have some accountability and they've grown and they've come out of difficult times.
Yes, those who are in the program, you know, we could recommend, you know, and still we have to be very careful. As I said, all they need is a second chance for them to recover.
Alma, when you talk about money, a lot of people want to know that, like, for example, I know there's charitable organizations that 90% of the money that goes in, goes to handling overhead. That is not true with Joy Junction.
No.
Virtually all the money is going into the programming.
Yes, all the donated money is really go into the program to you know, whatever Joy Junction need to run the entire program of Joy Junction.
Yes. So really it's a very effective ministry. It's a very, you built a number of apartments here. How many years ago now?
It was to 20s, around almost 2017, but opened it in 2018 when Jeremy passed away. Yeah, that's the time like ready to open. So now it's 2023, so it's been 5 years since it was, you know, serve people. We put families and couples and those who are in the program in that building. But still, we thought when we have that building, we will able to eliminate the multi-purpose building. And now at the multi-purpose on the floor with blue mattress, we have around 75 people sleeping.
Okay. As a former facilities manager, former business manager of a church, let me just tell you the truth. Anytime you have a building project and the Lord is directing it, as soon as you finish the building project, it's already too small. Because God brings people there.
I know.
God is obviously blessing and doing amazing things through Joy Junction. Alma, you have people that are working, and maybe this is the easiest for you to recall, but you have people working in the ministry, but you can remember when they came to the program needing help, and you've seen some miraculous things happen with these people.
Yes, I see a lot of them, you know, when they come to the shelter, their situation is really like hopeless, but, you know, we show them that we care about them. We care about their lives. We care about their future. So, you know, we give them a chance,
yes.
And we don't judge them of what is going on there in their life, but to understand and to listen. And, you know, we tell them, like, you know, it's not yet too late. You can do something. You can turn your life around and become a responsible person.
Yes. Alma, you mentioned that you were a caregiver in Israel before you came to the States and to New Mexico proper. You kind of have a heart for Israel, and right now there's bombs bursting in the air over residents of Israel, and I know you would encourage all of us to pray for that country.
Yes, we do. I mean, we have to keep that country in our prayer, and even, you know, the other side of the fence, you know, those innocent people that are trapped, and my heart is grieving. I've been there in Israel for 19 years, and I've been through those rumors of wars and those rockets that flying, you know, over Israel. And then when the rockets first time arrived in the center of Tel Aviv, that was the last year when I was there, that you have no idea. All your body will be shaking, of you're scared. It's just like, okay, Lord, this is my last, you know, if I will die, then I will die. But it's still, I know that it's a very complicated situation that they are, what is going on there, but I know we have to pray for them and, you know, really keep in our daily prayer and being in understanding that I think we are in our last times in this earth.
Yeah. End times is such an interesting topic. So many pastors are talking about that. More and more. I guess I've been of this opinion that we aren't going to know exactly when the Lord's going to return. That's scriptural.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be aware of when he's here, but we might all be gone.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, the pre-tribulation rapture. you know, I just know that Jesus is going to return and that we have some time now to love people, introduce people to Christ, and you're doing so much to love people and to give them a hand up, not a hand down.
Amen.
And I'm hoping that our listeners will join with you, and they can go to joyjunction.org. That is the website, all kinds of amazing information there. The ministry's been around for how long now?
We are 37 years.
37?
No, yes.
37 years old. That's a long time.
It's been a long time, and we're keep going.
A lot of fruit from the ministry.
Yes, the needs just keep going, and we're here by the grace of God.
Alma, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Amen.